But one story I got to tell you, I think this is the all-time, one of the all-time best I ever heard. So David and I met our grandchildren and their parents at an event a few weeks ago. And it was so cute. The three was Liz, and she had her three my three grandchildren there. And as we were starting to leave, David and I started walking by ourselves, and they had gotten in their car, and they passed us, and they tooted the horn and waved. And Ella, who's 4 years old, she turned to her parents, and she said, "Mommy, do Nanny and Poppy have children?" I love that. She was like so worried we were alone. But, you know, it showed me something that we think sometimes culture understands, or we think that people understand what we're talking about. Meanwhile, she didn't have a clue that we were related. That is awesome, isn't it? Well, today I want to talk to you about something. I know Pastor David has been talking about life overflowing in the Spirit. And I want to follow up on that message in kind of a unique way. And first I'm going to read with you Galatians 3 verses 1 to 8. And we're going to have it up. But the title of this message is Detour, Deception, and Spiritual OCD. Detour, Deception, and Spiritual OCD. So I want to read the scripture for you right now. "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, listen, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it's those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'All the nations will be blessed through you.'" And this is a very strong word, this book of Galatians. We did a study of it in school, and there were so many interesting things about it. But I want you to see that Paul, in his epistles, his letters to the church, would usually start by greeting them. "Oh, my brothers and sisters, I send greetings. I want to commend the church, and how are you leaders?" He would always say something he's thankful for, stuff. But this Galatians letter, he got right to the point, because this church was going into error. Paul had established these churches, probably with Barnabas, and he was like a spiritual father who began the work there in a powerful way. But all of a sudden, influences came to him. Influences came to that church that were leading them far away. On Valentine's Day, we decided to go see all these little cuties, my grandchildren and Lori and Christian. We decided that we were going to go see them and celebrate Valentine's Day together at night. So it was really fun. We were so excited to get there. Anytime I get a chance to see these kids, you know, I can't wait. I'm what you call a crazy grandma. Just ask them. Landon loves when I get on the floor of the nursery and I start letting him ride on my back, roll over me, whatever he wants to do. I don't care, because I love them. I love to buy them things they don't need if I can afford it. I love to spoil them. I'm a little bit of a crazy grandma. I love them, and I couldn't wait to get there. So it was so crazy, the traffic that day. And my husband says, "I think I'm going to pull off the highway. I think I'm going to take another way to get there. So he pulls off the highway, and all of a sudden, we run smack into worse traffic. I was shocked. I said, you know what? This detour didn't help at all. Right, boy? It didn't help us at all. But fortunately, we were able to get there just a little bit later. But what I see here is that these Christians were going on a detour that was very dangerous. You know, like on the sign when it says, please don't go this way. This is dangerous. There's a warning sign. There's a caution sign. And Paul was sounding the caution sign. He was saying, please do not take this detour. He said to them, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? This wasn't just a momentary or just a moment going off course. They were headed on a dangerous path. This was a detour that threatened the church in Galatia. And Paul didn't mind at all being firm with them. And that's why he said to them, I mean, you know, he called them foolish. He called them foolish. He said, you started in the Spirit. What happened to you? Why are you going off on a tangent? You have to stay in the Spirit. It's not enough to come into the Lord. You see, what I found out, that this was what they call, it wasn't a Christological, that's a big word, but it wasn't a Christological difference. You know why? They still believed that Jesus was the Messiah. That wasn't the issue. What the issue was what they call a soteriological. The difference was that their salvation, they were being told they needed to add, they needed to subtract, they needed to change things other than what was the pure and simple gospel of Christ. So the issue wasn't salvation. The issue wasn't that they didn't believe in Christ. They did. But they didn't follow the simple teachings of the faith. And they started adding things. And some people think it was these Jewish Christians who came from Jerusalem who weren't happy about Gentiles getting saved. Aren't you glad that you and I have been brought into the family of God? Hallelujah. But some of the Jewish people who had followed the law were not happy. So they started doing their work in the church of Galatia. And Paul was concerned. He didn't spare any words. He called them foolish. And he even went on to say, you crazy Galatians, in another translation. He said, what are you giving up? This is serious stuff. What are you giving up? You've got to be crazy to take the beautiful gospel that's been offered to you, to be grafted into the vine, and then putting in the Jewish law as you see fit. Who knows why they were so open to that? But we really need to, as Christians, listen to me. We need to be very pure in the gospel. We need to hold up this gold standard. Paul said, if anybody else comes and teaches something apart from this, reject it and know by the Spirit that you are going down a detour that is dangerous. This is what we have to believe. But somehow the church had gotten off course. And what happened to them? Verse 1b says, who has bewitched you? Bewitched, again, another strong word. Crazy, foolish, bewitched you. Some said, the Message translation says, did someone put a hex on you? Have you taken leave of your senses? False teachers had robbed them of their blessedness. And people can come in and influence us in ways that are not godly. Paul was a father to that church. He wasn't trying to build disciples unto himself. He was building disciples unto the Lord Jesus Christ. But other people who were there in his absence came in and were trying to add things in or take away from the pure and simple gospel of Christ. And their father in Christ was very, very concerned for them. You hear passion. You hear concern. You know, like a father, if your child is going in over somewhere dangerous, believe me, you're going to stand up. You don't even think about it. You say, watch out. Be careful. Don't give up that pure and simple devotion to Christ and follow teachers who are only trying to build people around themselves. You know, I'll never forget, we started out as youth pastors. And we just, in New York, and we just loved the Lord, and our youth ministry was growing. And we were bivocational as well at that time. David had to also help earn some extra money for our salary. So occasionally his father taught him how to paint. That's how we got engaged, right? His father was a house painter with 9 kids. Can you imagine how many houses he had to paint? But so he did some house painting, and he painted in this one home. And this lady was so troubled and so upset. And David just started sharing Jesus with her and her family. And, you know, it was amazing. She was like an open book. She realized the life that she was living was really difficult life. And she knew she needed something more. That's why I understand, Natalie, when you go in there with the truth, there may be resistance from the enemy, but the world is ready to receive Christ because they know everything else doesn't satisfy. So she received the Lord. Her and her family, they received the Lord. And they started to come to church. And they started to just enjoy it. And they started to actually get involved with the youth ministry in the church. And, you know, we're always anxious to see people. I shouldn't say anxious. We're excited to see people that want to grow in the Lord. And so we tried to pour into her. But a spiritual pride entered into this woman. Here she was, just newly saved. Just newly coming to a relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ. And she started to work with the young people. And she started to pull them around herself. And she started to, you know, just like cause like some confusion and division. And we could see it happening. God was warning us in our spirit, and we were praying. We sensed something wasn't right. Here's this person just coming to God. And, you know, granted, let me tell you something. A lot of times people who have a destiny in God, there's something good that happened. The enemy wants to take them on a detour or take them off track so that they go in a different way and they rebel in pride or confusion. So this lady started to really be a problem. And there were some things she did in church that were really out of order. And lovingly, we tried to correct her, realizing she was a new Christian, just showing her a better way. But one day, she comes to David, and she says, you know, the Lord told me I'm supposed to be youth pastor. Right? You want to tell a story? No? So, fill me in now how you said to her. You said, well, the Lord, I'll pray about it. And David, that was a nice way of saying, what are you, crazy? No, but he said, I'll pray about it, but the Lord hasn't spoken to me about it yet. And she said, I would have to hear from God. Go ahead. She said, you just did. And, you know, we're shocked at that. Till this day, I can still not get over that. But deception had crept in. She had taken a detour God puts safety things in our lives. He puts boundaries. He puts guardrails around us so that we can grow in safety and find all he has for us. I want you to be everything that God wants you to be. I want every gift in you to develop. I want to see you be all that God destined you to be. But I'll tell you what, he's not going to tell you something apart from this. He's not going to tell you something that's heresy. He's not going to go around his work, his authority, his protection in your life, because he knows that we have, all of us. And I'm not just saying Eileen, this lady, but you know, my husband, when he was young and he had just started serving Christ, he was so passionate about God that this cult actually tried to grab him. They tried to recruit him, the children of God from Texas. He was so passionate about God that this cult came in and saw the hunger in his heart and tried to recruit him. And thank God for godly parents and for a godly church that helped him get back on track. And you could see the fruit of it is, you know, 50 years in ministry. Because God protected him. Because there were rails, guardrails. There was protection in his life that he didn't just go off and say, you just heard from God. And I want to say this. And, you know, we do hear from God. I don't want to discourage that. But again, God will never speak anything that's not in his word. And he has a way to speak. He has a way to confirm. You know, these are things that we have to cultivate. But it's very, very difficult when somebody says, God told me this. We can have conversations, but when we get to a point where somebody says, God told me that, we know the conversation is pretty much over. Because now you have to leave it between God and them. Why am I given such a word? I don't really even know. But I feel like when we start to walk in the Spirit, when God wants to overflow in our lives, when God wants to use us way beyond our own capabilities and what he can do through us, the enemy will try to put details like this Galatian churches. These Galatian churches were powerful. These Galatian churches could change a whole country. And here the enemy had crept in. Why do we do this? This deception. I want to tell you about something that happened to me a few weeks ago, which we're still kind of walking through right now. A few weeks ago, we have these lanterns on our pathway in our house. You know, do you know the solar ones that light the path? And there's four of them. We have a very short pathway. And I don't know why. There's just certain things I got to tell you that I love. I love those lights. I love those lights. However, I had a problem. One of them would not work. Now, I have never been officially diagnosed with OCD. I've never been officially diagnosed, but I'm pretty sure. David says, don't confess that you have it. You're fighting OCD. I'm fighting OCD. I'm much better. If you think I'm bad now, you should have seen me when I was in my 20s and 30s. God bless this man. That's all I could do. So it bothered me so much. So David said, don't worry about it. We'll get some new lights. And, you know, we went to Home Depot to try to replace the one light. You couldn't do it. You had to buy four. So it drove me so crazy. I took off the top. And I took out the battery, and I looked in between, and I found out the exact battery that you would need. Nobody had it here, so I ordered it from Amazon. Crazy, right? I was so excited when those batteries came. So we decided, let's just change them. Let's change all of them. So we changed the battery, and lo and behold, I couldn't wait for nightfall to see if they were working. So I come down. When it starts to get dark, I look outside. Hallelujah! All four lights were working! Yay! All four lights lit the path. I was just, I mean, thank God for the little things. I was so excited. So the next day in the daylight, I look outside and I look down the path, and lo and behold, one of them was a little crooked. So this battle's going on me. Should I, shouldn't I? Should I, shouldn't I? Should I, shouldn't I? Oh, yeah, I'll go out and fix it a little. So I turned it a little, and it went move, Tommy. It went move. So I said, it still bothered me a little, so I got a little firmer with it, a little firmer with it, until I didn't realize that there was in the ground like this metal thing that the stake had gone into, and when you turned it, it snapped it off. Now we have a problem. So David put on a prosthetic leg on the lamp. Two sticks with tape on the side. It bothered me, but I said, that's all right. Small sacrifice for perfection. Guess what? The light didn't work at night. The light didn't work at all. And I said to my husband, please forgive me. I have just learned the most powerful lesson. Perfection does not pay. We can never be perfect enough. We could never be good enough. And I don't know, was this, so I call this spiritual OCD. Was this church going through that? Was this church trying to say, now I've begun in the spirit, I started in the spirit, but now I want to add a little bit more. Now I want to add a little bit more. Oh, you know what? I think I would feel much better if I followed some of the Jewish law. And I think I would feel a little bit better if I did it my way. I mean, forget Paul. What does he know? You see what I'm saying? Our flesh, I don't know why. They had it. They had everything they needed to live a godly life. And let me tell you something. When we come to Jesus, we don't disregard the law. The law is there because it shows us why we needed a Savior. And it shows us, I was studying about this, it shows us what's important to God. A pure and chaste life and living a life that's pleasing and obedient to Him. So we don't take the law and kick it to the curb. We say that Jesus fulfilled the law. So therefore, when I accept Jesus as my personal Savior, He covers my sin with His blood. He gives me a new life in Jesus Christ. And I could have never earned it. The law, no one ever fulfilled it. No one ever could have fulfilled it except our pure and passionful Savior that loved us and gave His life for us. Jesus is the only one that could bring salvation. And you know what then? We want to live a godly life, not to fulfill the law, because I've seen that. You know, do we want to feel better than someone else? Oh, you know what? They read their Bible 15 minutes, but I read my Bible 40 minutes a day, so therefore I am a better Christian. You know, they did this, but I would never do that, so I'm a better Christian. That's not what we're talking about here. That's our flesh trying to begin in the spirit, but then understand that we're trying to walk in our own way. We're trying it. It might be spiritual pride, feeling like we're better than someone else. But when I accept Christ as my Savior, you know what? I want to live this. I want to live this. I want to read my Bible because I want the Holy Spirit to speak to me. I want His word hid in my heart that I might not sin against Him. I want to come to church because I know that in the ministry of the body, something amazing happens to us, that I can't sit at home and all of a sudden think I have every gift that's needed and think that I could be an island unto myself and have my own religion. spiritual pride enters in, or the other part, unworthiness. I'm not just worthy because Christ loved me and gave his life for me. That's not enough. What am I going to do? There's people who climb upstairs on their knees, who mutilate their body and everything to satisfy their gods. Look at the prophets of Elijah on the mountain, on the Mount of Carmel. They were doing everything to get their God's attention, but he was a dead God. We don't discipline ourselves because we're trying to earn our salvation. Do you understand the very important difference? We don't discipline ourselves because we're trying to earn it or because we feel we'll be more worthy. You can't be any more worthy than you are right now when you say, Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, cover my sin. Jesus, empower me by your Holy Spirit to live this life. And many people then will wait till they feel good enough or they're ready enough or they feel that then they're ready to live this kind of life. But Jesus says, first you accept me, receive the righteousness from me, receive salvation from me, be filled with the Holy Spirit to overflowing. Let chains break. Let habits break. Let your destiny come forth. But all because of his goodness, not because I can earn it. It's such an important difference because I have good days. I have bad days. But God is always faithful. Every day he's faithful. And I'm not saying to have sloppy agape. I don't know if you know what that means, but agape is God's love. It's perfect love. Don't just say, oh, okay, I got Jesus in my heart. Now I can do whatever I want. The law doesn't work. I have no rule. No, no. When we love Jesus, we will live this word by his power. We can't do it on our own. Only by his grace and his power. So I just want to challenge you today. My study Bible said that this is what they call toxic Christianity. Toxic. Whenever you get something that is trying to take away from the righteousness and the goodness in God and his sacrifice, it's toxic when we start missing our flesh. And believe me, we all have a tendency to want to do that, to be our own religion, to be our own island, to be our own authority, to be our own. This is how cults start. This is how cults start. Because they take a little bit of the truth, or maybe they're even willing to say, Jesus is my Savior. But like Jim Jones, we're going to take you to Guyana, and you're going to drink this Kool-Aid, you're going to kill yourself, and you're going to become my disciple. The Bible says there are not many fathers. When you know someone is ordained by God in your life as a father in the Spirit, as your spiritual father, but also as your natural fathers who are walking in God, there's protection in that. There's protection in that. You know, the Lord will lead the sheep. He's the good shepherd. Satan, he beats the sheep. If he can't get you to turn your back on God, guess what he likes to do? Beat you. Because he's not the good shepherd. He's not the one who gave his life for you when we were unworthy, when we didn't deserve it. So now are we trying to start in the spirit to understand we couldn't have done it? We start in that, and now I'm trying to go down a detour where I'm being deceived into doing something that's not of God. I just want to challenge us this morning because I know that as much as we love the Lord, or maybe you're trying to live a life of your own justification or your own plan, or I am. You know, just a few weeks ago, the Spirit of God was moving so much. Pastor and I here and all of you, we said yes to God. This is serious stuff. When we say yes to God, I really don't know all the plans he has for my future, but I do trust him. And I don't want to take a detour. How about you? I want to stay in the safety of the road and the path he's provided for me. I want the guardrails he's had on the road because he knows, oh, Angela, don't go too close. I don't want someone to come and deceive me. I don't want to have spiritual OCD where I'm trying to earn this in my flesh and trying to perfect it to a point because I feel I'm worthy. He's done it all. Now all we need to do is let him lead. I'm going to ask Pastor to come up. I'm not even sure how to end this service, but I know God gave me this word. I prayed about it, and I feel it's for me as much as you. Believe me, Pastor and I, we don't just want to deliver a message. We want to live this. We've been praying all week. I've been saying to my husband, hon, let's just pray that God really speaks to us and that, you know, we have the word of the Lord and that we're trying to live it and letting the Holy Spirit live through us. So I pray that it's been a blessing to you this morning, and I pray the Holy Spirit will take it and manifest it to your heart. Manifest it to your heart in Jesus' name. Pastor David.
Thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. The grace of God is so strong. If you understand that this is a relationship, Christianity is a relationship. It's not a religion. People have made it into a religion, but essentially it's a relationship with the Savior, Jesus. And you're secure in that relationship because God has done everything that we need for salvation has already been done. It's not what we do, and do. It's what God's done, and done. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He's done it all. Let's stand together, shall we? I was reading just at the end here. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom, listen to this, through whom we also now have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. God's trying to say to the church, stand in the grace of God. The grace of God is total reliance on what God has done. Plus nothing, plus zero. Trusting Jesus' blood, plus zero. Trusting the cross of Christ, plus nothing else. Of course, our motivation to love God is there because he gave his life for us. So we want to love the one who died for us. We want to give our lives back to him. I want you to think about how much he loved you this morning, that he was willing to hang on a cross, suffer and die for your sins and my sins with the joy and the hope that stood before him that someday you would come into his family. Someday he would have the privilege of adopting you into his family, all because he laid down his life for you.